Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials, as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey everyone, today I have a special treat for you. It is another masterclass, once again led by the wonderful Pedro Ballesteros Torres. This class was held at Milk in New York City and was run in conjunction with the Rioja Railway Wine Experience. The grand tasting took place on a section of the High Line. All of the wineries that participated are from specific region within Rioja that became more viable thanks to the railway coming through their region. During the master class, we were privileged to taste through 10 wines, 2 wines from 5 different wineries. The idea behind the class was to allow us to experience both the traditional as well as the innovative side of these wineries. It was breathtaking to taste a 1978 Gran Reserva and compare it to others in each of the decades leading up to today. I hope you can enjoy the class as much as I did. And as a sidebar, this was my first podcast that I edited for a translator. So you will hear a little bit of the information in the native language, which should, if I did it correctly, fade out and then fade in with the translation. Please leave us a comment on our homepage or on our social media channels as to your thoughts on this class. Sláinte!
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for coming here to share with us some moments about the fine wines of Rioja. Thank you for your interest in this region, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to explain a few things about why Rioja is Rioja and what we could expect from Rioja. The leitmotif of this tasting today is that we will have 2 flights of wine together. That are grouped in 2 classes of wine. One is going to be the wine of Rioja that aged, the classic wines of Rioja. Rioja was a region that became a fine wine region only when there were 2 technological innovations that came to the region. Before, in Rioja, the people used to produce a lot of wines, but the people used to drink the wine they produced. There was not any particular added value. It was only when we were so fortunate to have a few expatriates that were in France, in Bordeaux, that brought with them the technology from the Bordeaux wine, the way the people in Bordeaux were taking care of the vines, the way the people in Bordeaux were making the wines, trying to look to extract the best possible thing from the grapes. And the way the people from Bordeaux, they showed to us that our wines are good when they are young, but in order to be excellent, they need time. They need long aging. It was the discovery of Rioja. This discovery took place in 1858. Before, Rioja was a normal, a nice wine region. Afterwards, the city for the excellence was there, thanks to technology. It was the first condition. But it was not enough. You may have lovely climate, you may have adequate soils, you may have the right genetic material, the vines. You may have all of this. You may even have the right winemaking practices, as they used to have in that period. But all of this is worth nothing if you don't have a customer, a client who is paying for the wine. And in order to have a customer, you need to have access to markets. Spain has been, for the last 300 years, a poor country. Spain used to have very poor infrastructures. We were isolated from the world. We were producing maybe a lot of wonderful things that nobody knew. We need a second technological innovation in order to become a real fine wine region. This second technological innovation was the train. At the moment that the train in the second half of the 19th century arrived to Haro, to Guanos, the capital of Rioja Alta, at the moment that it was possible that the wines produced in Rioja Alta and Rioja Alavesa could be sent to Bilbao and to the rest of the world, to Bordeaux, to Britain, it was the moment in which people realized that those wines were good wines. People started to look for these wines. People were willing to pay for those wines. And Rioja became a fine, fine region. This is, in the world of wine, there are very few golden rules. Because we are dealing with natural, we are dealing with history, we are dealing with society. And rules are always very limited. But if there is one golden rule, is that all the classic wines of the world, all the finest wines of the world became fine wine because a foreigner appreciated them. California needs the jasmine of Paris. Sherry needed the British value of Sherry and Bordeaux as well, and the Dutch. Champagne needed the Russians, always. Rioja needed the French and then the British to appreciate this, and now the Americans. This is what makes our wine good. Because by this, because you are receiving a good revenue for this, you can invest in quality. And why is not the lucky result of the actions of the climate, the soil, the plant, and whatever? No. Climate is, among all things, the most important thing is the result of the work of people. People working on the vines. People working on the vine because that makes sense, because other people will appreciate this. Then, of course, you take advantage of all the natural advantages in your region. But the first condition is this. This was the way Rioja was born. Rioja was born as an innovation, was something completely innovative. Because of that, they mentioned intensely the word technology. That we, the aromatic people of wine, we don't like technology. We like to be told that there are this magic combination of natural things that in this lucky place, that thanks to this, we have a lovely wine. And this is love for our hearts. But this is not so clear for our minds. We know that wine is a human beverage, that wine is made for our pleasure, for our dreams. Wine is very human. And this is the reason for this. Tradition is always the innovation of the past. There is not any natural tradition. The natural tradition is to die when you are 25 years old of an illness and to be naked and things like this and nobody. All of the traditions that we feel so sophisticated, so good, that we have to preserve, it's good to preserve them for our hearts, but they were, at one time, they were an innovation, and very often a revolutionary innovation. This is our argument, our narrative here. So I want to paint five wines that are the tradition of Rioja. The tradition that is the result of that revolution of 1858, of 1862, of 1877, when those were the things happened. The only way to keep alive and to keep motivation for us as persons is to change. We know that life is changing. Our bodies are changing on a day-to-day basis. Our minds are changing on a day-to-day basis. We know that we cannot rely on tradition to keep ourselves well and improving. We know that we need to change. And the wine regions are the same. The second series of wines is to prove that Rioja knows its tradition, respecting its tradition, respecting all the things, but these five wineries are innovating today, trying to understand even better the vineyards, trying to understand better how to make the wine in ways that they can express a more refining quality or a styles of wines that are being interesting. This is the second thing. You will have wines that are more modern. In all of this, you will have one innovation that each wine is applied to the vineyard. Do you like the narrative? You would like to taste some wine? Okay, thank you. Let's start. What am I going to do? Where I want to go wine from wine. I want to use the floor to the wineries, and then I'm going to explain to you the wine, the wines of the wine. Okay? We don't want to explain to you the words of the wines. You are professionals, you are wine experts, you know how to taste the wine, and you are the free people that decide if you like the wine and which are the fruit, the structure, the tannins, and all these things you find in the wine. For us, the important thing is to explain to you what is behind the minds of the people making the wine and why the wine will make this. Okay, we will have 5 decades of Rioja. We will start in the 1970s, we will go to the 1980s, then 1990s, 2000 and 2010. I will explain to you the reason for this, but this is always to also to convey to you the message that we can enjoy Rioja at any age. Let's start with our first wine, the oldest wine in these cities. A wine that is a relatively old wine, only 115 years old, relatively wise. In 1973.
Buenas tardes. How are you? I'm very pleased to be here today. New York, it's a beautiful place. We all love to be here. Well, I'm Diego Pinilla. I'm the technical director of Bodegas Bilbaínas. As you see, it's a beautiful winery. This place, the railway station, I think, is a place that's really authentic. With this kind of wineries, that there are not so many wineries with a real soul that tells many things. Pedro was talking about innovators, and there were two cousins in 1901 that were already trading with wine in Bilbao market. And in a moment decide to go where the train takes, so to Aro, and to build and to invest there and make this beautiful winery. This is quite unique because these people was already thinking in doing something important, where to age the wines, to mature the wines, and be ready to sell. But these people, I think they were kind of a visionary. They already in that moment, I think Rioja, our wineries started a little bit like the negociants, a little bit like the traders, aging wine and shipping the wine. But in that moment, these people already, what they did is to buy all the surrounding land around the winery. So we have still today 250 hectares in the surroundings of the winery that I think this is one of the best values we have today. This is unique. And what's so unique also to start naming the wines after the vineyards. So the vineyard we have here, or the wine you have here, is Viña Pomal. We also have other names in the winery, like Viña Taco, La Vitalanda, other wines that we make their name after the vineyards. So these people start to name after the vineyards, but to trade and to sell the wine, we used to take the image of the French guys. So this wine, in the Burgundy-shaped bottle, was the Bodegas Bilbaínas Burgundy style. So thinking in that, we have the Bordeaux style, we have the Sauternes style, we have the Champagne. So we used to produce different wines, making different styles, okay? Viña Pomal is the wine that I choose here because also is the oldest brand that we have now in the market. This is, first release was 1904. So, pretty old wine. You have a wine from 78, and I think that's a good harvest to show you. Thinking after that, in the 80s, is where probably there was a big change in the vineyards and the wine styles after that. I think the wines in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they are still wines that age for a very long time. You see in it still a lighter, finer, thinner wine, but anyway you can see that this wine after 40 years is still clearly alive, based of this freshness, acidity, that I think is one of the identities of Rioja. As Pedro was saying, we are not going to taste for you, but I hope you enjoy the wine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diego. Now we go to a wine that is slightly younger, 3 years younger, 1981, made by a winery that is slightly older, 11 years older, no? 1890. Julio is the winemaker of La Rioja Alta. He will present the second wine.
Okay, good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming for this special testing for us. My name is Julio Sainz, I'm the winemaker of La Rioja Alta. This winery was founded in 1890. In this time, 129 years later, we are a little group of four wineries in different regions of Spain. In my opinion, the best region of Spain to make our wines. So for us, the philosophy in all of our wineries is the same. Make every year the best wines for our customer. And for this, we must control all of the process of the wine. The first point, the first or more important point, is the grapes. All of our wines are made with our grapes. We produce all of our grapes for our plant. We have, in the case of La Rioja Alta, more than 450 hectares of vineyard, mainly Tempranillo, but we have another varieties like a Garnacha like for made vineyard Lanza, or Graciano to make the Grande Reservas. The second point, very important point, is the wood, the barrels. We produce all of our barrels to age of our wines. So, since more than 20 years ago, we started the importation of the wood from here, from America, from USA, Tennessee, Ohio, and Kentucky, and we do our barrels to age of our wines. And the third point, very important, is the facility. I think it will have probably the best facilities, more modern, for making our wine I never know. Today we have our special Gran Reserva A19. It's special because we can produce every year this wine. For example, we can produce 3 or 4 times every 10 years in all of our history. The reason is, for example, we have a very good vineyard, we have a very good barrels, we have a very good facility, we have a very good technology winemaker, but we depend a lot the water condition. If the water condition is not very, very good, we can produce this kind of wine. The vintage in your glass is 81 for us. For the Tio Rioja was only very good, but in our opinion, always was excellent. And when you taste, you try the wine, you understand better, because for us, is excellent. The blend is 95% Tempranillo, and the rest is Graciano and Mazuelo. It was aging during 7 years in American wood, and it was racking every 6 months by our system, traditional system, barrel to barrel. When the people ask me what is for you a classical Rioja wines, my answer is in your glass. For me, the classical Rioja wines is the elegance, the complexity, the long aging capacity, and the very good evolution of the wine. Thank you. Enjoy with this wine.
Thank you, Julio. Thank you a lot. Now we go to the wine. We go a wine that is 13 years younger, with a winery that is much, much younger than the winery that was founded in 1962. Think in terms of the history of Spain. At the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, was a period of globalization, and it was the recent period in our history now. The wineries in Rioja could find good customers, good markets that were appreciating the wines and that they were offered to pay for these wines and to support investment. But Unfortunately, after this period, we have a dictatorship from 1923 to 1930, a period, a very revolted period. There was also the period of the revolted period all over Europe. Then we have a civil war. Then we have another dictatorship. Spain was isolated for many years. They were not much for this. There were some people, very rare people, that were able to create new wineries in Rioja, but only until 1962. There are very few wineries in this interim period because of that. And this is very people who started producing wine for the domestic market, affordable wine, but they have already had good information and good ambition, information on the potential of Rioja to produce high quality wine and the ambition to produce them. Now, Isaac, explain more about this kind of wine.
Okay, so first of all, thank you to be there. Thank you to give us the opportunity to explain our history, our aging potential in our wines. Bodegas Muga is a family business who was founded by my grandparents, and actually the second and the third generation work together to develop and to improve the quality of our wines every day. So one of the wines that we are very happy and we are, for us, is one of the top wines in Muga, super premium wine, is this wine is Pradanea. Pradanea is our Gran Reserva. Pradanea, we use 80% of Tempranillo and 20% of Grenache and Mazuelo. Mazuelo is the same variety like Carmenere or Premier. Okay. So we aged this wine 1 year in a vat, at least 3 years in barrel, and at least 3 years in bottle. But Pradanea is a wine that we must, that we can make this wine every vintage. Why? It's easy to explain. It's because the region, the plots, the vineyard that we use to make this wine are in the highest lands, the highlands of Rioja, northwest of Rioja. Northwest of Rioja, so the altitude is between 600 meters to 700 meters, and the terrain is amazing. It's amazing, but this region is really cold, and sometimes it depends the vintage, it depends the weather. To arrive at good ripening, to good maturity is difficult. So it's for the reason we make this wine only in the good vintage. Something very important to know about the terroir of this unique zone in Rioja is the complexity of the terroir. In the different plots, we can find different percentages of limestone, clay, pebbles, and sand. And each plot, each parcel, are completely different. So it's for the reason this wine, at the end, we obtain a very complex, very fine and very complex wine. And very important to know, too, is because the altitude, because the weather, and because the terroir, we have a natural acidity of pH that we help us to age in this wine a long time. In the glass, you have 1994, in my opinion, one of the best vintage in the 90s. This vintage was quite atypical because we had a very hot winter. We had a frost during April, and the summer was a few storms. So the summer was more or less normal, but the harvest arrived very early. So we start 15, between 15 and 20 days before the normal date of the harvest. So this wine is a beautiful traditional Grand Reserva style, and please keep a little bit of wine to compare with the 2010, because I want to show you how the work of Muga, the improve of the quality of the knowledge that we have nowadays, give to our wines and develop the potential, the quality of this wine. So enjoy the wine, and thank you.
Thank you, sir. We go to our fourth wine and winery. Now we go to 2004, and we go with a winery that is much younger. It was born, it was created in 1987. And look at the history. There are always good reasons for this. 1962 is the moment that Spain starts to progress. Muga creates a winery that starts with good wines, and then it's increasing the quality. In 1987, we were already in the European Union. We were not any longer so much of a poor country. We have free access to very important markets. And there were some intelligent people that they knew at the time that they could start a new winery looking for the top quality from the very beginning. They could pay for the effort of understanding the vineyards better. They could go for very low yields and very difficult vineyards in order to get the top quality, because there was a market that could pay for this. This is the intelligent thing, the product, a very modern winery that has been working always with very old vineyards, have been working always with very low yields, have been concentrating from the beginning in top quality. It's a lot of merit for them, but we always, I insist upon this, need to understand the context. They did this because they could do this, because Spain was not any longer the isolated poor country that it used to be. But Agustin will explain to us much better, more things about the winery, the philosophy, their style, and why they are doing the things they do. Agustin has a wonderful Spanish, it's a tradition to listen to him in Spanish, so much of a tradition that we prefer that Victor is saying this in English.
Roda es la última bodega que llegó al barrio de la estación.
So good afternoon to everybody. And when, as Agustin said it, Bodegas Roda started in 87. We're by far the youngest of the barrio de la estación. And no wonder we were very quickly nicknamed as the modern guys of Rioja. Now, more than 30 years have passed by, and many times people look at us almost like a neoclassic. The most classical of the modern wineries, or the most modern of the classical wineries. Somehow, with the pass of time, yeah, I guess.
Buscábamos tener el paisaje dentro del vino.
Now, probably we could take it down to two things. That's what we want at the bottom. Number one is the landscape. Get the basic to the origin. We want the wine to talk about the place. Secondly, vintage character. You know, to us, that's the magic of fine wine, releasing different wine with a different characteristics every year. So those are the two goals, if you like. And with the pass of time, through the 80s, through the 90s, we've definitely reinforced our knowledge on Tempranillo.
Nuestra región es una maravilla. Aro es un lugar privilegiado.
Now, it's a question of imagining the place, Rioja. Maybe some of you have been there, but maybe we're not the most objective when saying it, but it's a wonderful region. And it's a valley surrounded by mountains to the north, mountains to the southeast, open to the Mediterranean, very close to the Atlantic. A magic place with, you know, vineyards all over the place, mostly on hilltops. That's what we like. A lot of hills, different exposures. And the Ebro River going like a snake through the valley.
El juego de los tres climas. Somos una región interna. Somos una región continental, pero tenemos la frescura.
Well, in that valley we have definitely the magic of three climatic influences. We're very close to the Atlantic. we have the Mediterranean, a bit of a continental touch too. And you know, all that brings real magic into Tempranillo. And actually Tempranillo, and that's very much with the style of our wines, can deliver very different ripenings. You know, when we started, we only made two wines. Now the family's got a little bit bigger. But precisely the boundary between one and the other, between Roda and Roda 1, was the way Tempranillo ripened. Because sometimes it gives you a retro profile, more into, say, strawberries, cherries, and that's Roda to us. But sometimes Tempranillo may deliver a far deeper, darker ripening, more in depth. And that's precisely what you have in the glass, the darkness of the fruit. Sounds a bit like Star Wars, but I think you'll get my point.
En esta cata nos ha tocado traer el representante de la década de los 2000.
Well, we are blessed to bring this wonderful 2004, the representative of the decade. And 2004, excellent vintage. That makes our job easier as well. It was an excellent vintage, and usually excellent vintages happen to be Mediterranean. This had a bit of an Atlantic touch to it, which delivers a good freshness. So among the dark fruit, I think, Agustin said, I think you can really find some red fruit hints in the 04. And obviously the journey starts in the vineyard. Regardless of the fact you want to describe it as modern, traditional, our viticulture, very traditional, was fine. Always had trained the traditional dry farming, cover crop. That's our viticultural philosophy.
Espero que os guste este representante de la década y cualquier pregunta que queráis hacer, después la contestamos. Gracias.
We hope you enjoyed this representative of the decade. And well, just down to the details, 100% Tempranillo. Well, spontaneous fermentation, of course, everything hand-picked. Spontaneous fermentation in French oak fermenter, malolactic in French oak barrique, and then a year and a half in French oak barrique. Hopefully you'll enjoy it and find that darkness in the fruit we were trying to describe. Thank you very much.
You have an enriched interpretation, eh? You said more things than
you should take it away.
Okay, now we go for the fifth winery and the fifth wine, the final wine of the first plant. We go for the eldest, the older winery in this city, the Roberto Prado was created in 1886. So it's the eldest winery. And again, I always refer to the historic context. In those vagaries of the history, in Gondar, Gondar, some wineries, they were cooking, they were reinforcing, they were struggling in difficult times but surviving. Other wineries were created in the good time. And Gómez Posada, a classic winery, one of the founders of Mario Estación, were keeping things, and then they have difficult times, and at one moment, it was necessary to introduce fresh blood into the old winery. And then, because of that, that's for the classic wine, the youngest one is the one coming from the eldest winery, because Juan Antonio took over this winery some years ago. This is a wine that is already his wine, made on this. Juan Antonio took all the baggage, all the background, the history of the winery, but he put all of his new effort in order to recover those things from the past. I mean, to have new things. Juan Antonio, explain your wine.
Thank you, Pedro. Thanks for coming to everybody. Sorry, because my English is this kind, it's terrible. But I will try to explain to you something about our winery and about our wines, okay? I did my papers, because in your language I prefer to be support, okay? As Pedro said at the beginning, we was one of the oldest wineries in the area, 133 years old. We are the smaller one. We are a boutique winery, very focused in the details, of course. We are producing mainly, more than 95% of our production is range based in the classic kind of Rioja, the classic recipe. But classic recipe reinterpreted for us in our is our point of view respect the history. We have assumed the style of Barrio La Estación. We are absolutely happy and grateful to share this district with our neighbors, amazing, well-known brand. Our interpretation of this classic style is in terms of the age of the wines. We don't have historic vintage in the winery, and we are trying to do fine wines with these classic methods, using the same tools, of course, long aging wine based in the finesse and the complexity more than the intensity. And we are, of course, I'm 41, we are using the science, we are using of course our know-how, and this is our proposal in terms of that, okay? You have 2014 vintage.
It's honorable 2014. Honorable is our iconic house wine. It's our one of our main brands. We are producing it from 1910. First vintage was 1913, and we have bottles of 13, 15, 20s, 64s, and today we are opening amazing bottles of this classic wine with 50, 40 years old. Okay, and then it's a red, that we produce only in a special good vintage, not every year. We are producing around 12,000 bottles of this wine. And the main two characteristics that we need to produce it in the vintage is that we need good temperature in the summer. We need mainly July and August with good temperature, medium high. And at the same time, we need the cool influence coming from the north, this Atlantic influence coming from the north, especially during ripeness. Okay. The reason is because we need a good body. No question that is a complete good body wine, but not too much body. And at the same time, we need this freshness that is cleaning and helping you to drink and eat. And we understand the wines always with food. And then we think that this kind of wine should be with this fresh and this freshness characteristic that is helping to drink when you are enjoying. Okay. In terms of viticulture, it's a wine that came from the north of Ebro River. As you know, Rioja is a valley, someone like my paper, and this is Ebro River. And then it's a summary of one of the mythic areas north of the river, from Sierra is called it, the area, is a blend between Alavesa and Alta region. It's a red based in a blend, of different plots, in a blend of different locations, blend of different grapes. It's a field blend coming from vineyards like the picture. It's one of our vineyards for Honorable 2014. It's very small plots that. With this one, we try to represent what is the identity of this terroir with the style of the house, and for me, the style of this finesse that we share in all the wines of the Barrio de la Estación. Okay. In terms of
aging is 1 year and a half in barrel, French made, 100% French. And at the end, we use the aging in bottle. For us, is as important the aging in bottle than the aging in barrel. And we try to release this wine to the market when it's ready to enjoy. Now we are drinking 2014, and it's ready to drink now. And for me, I think should be ready, should be enjoyable in probably in 10 years, or in 20, or in 40. It's one of our historic characteristics, the longevity of our wines, okay? Enjoy it, and at the end we can speak up a little bit more about it, okay? Thank you.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Exploring the Wine Glass is brought to you by Dracena Wines. Dracena Wines is an artisan winery located in Paso Robles, California. They have been producing wine since 2013. Their first vintage began with one wine, their classic Cabernet Franc, which received a 91 in Wine Enthusiast. Since then, they have increased production, received several accolades, including double gold medals in the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, and consistent 90-plus ratings. In addition to their classic Cabernet Franc, they now produce a single vineyard, single clone reserve Cabernet Franc and a rosé of Syrah. Although they've increased production every year, they continue to sell out each vintage. Find out more about Dracena Wines and their award-winning wines at DracenaWines.com and let them help turn your moments into great memories.
We have tasted five different interpretations of the classic red Rioja style. Wines that are coming from grapes in selected vineyards, grapes that are giving balanced wines, wines that are fermented, the stems are aged for a certain time, long time normally, in oak barrels, and then aged in bottle. This is the classic result that was at the time an innovation. These wineries, they will continue producing those wines because people, they like them and they are happy to do this, but these wines, they know that they need to think, to innovate. They know that there is not a perfect wine. They know they can go even, they can become better and better and better. And now, this class of wineries, these Rioja wineries, for their second flight, we will have five innovation schemes they are working on. This, the second flight, are the wines that are showing how the Rioja wineries, the Barrio de la Estación wineries, are working together in order to innovate and to have the possibility of becoming even better in future. So each one of the wineries is going to explain to us, for each one of the wines, the innovation, the vision for the future. Let's start again with Bodegas and Vainas, that is using a very old brand in the Pomar in order to innovate and do things that were never done before.
Thank you. Well, this part of innovation, for me, I think this is very important in the last years for us. For me, innovation at the end, you need two things. You need curiosity. You need to ask yourself what you are doing and if you can do it better every day. And for winemaking, a very important thing is learning. So if you don't try new things, if you don't try different ways to do things, you don't learn. And we have very few harvests to learn, so we have to make many trials at the same time. When I arrived to the winery in 2007, they gave me the keys of the winery and kind of tell me, you can change everything, but we cannot feel to change anything. So really was to try and make many different trials, try the varieties that we have in the vineyards, vinify different ways, and mainly the big effort we did was to pick every parcel that we own. Big parcels, it's 250 hectares, so it's a pretty big vineyard. And the main thing was to look for the different expression of every soil, every orientation, everything that could be different. So from this project came a few wines, single vineyard wines, and at the same time came wines like this one that we are trying today. That is an example of that way to be learning and doing things a little bit better. And one of the things is finding this Graciano that we own. Well, the view is over there, close to the mountain, real Atlantic. Maybe you know Graciano is one of these long cycle varieties ripening very late. So this Graciano we are going to harvest usually the end of October in good harvest, in good years. In bad years, we also take it in at the end of October because it's finished the harvest at that time. We've been seeing in the last years how we have this global warming effect, where in our region Tempranillo was very important to be an early ripening variety. And now we are thinking to keep this acidity still alive. Varieties like Arnacha or varieties like Graciano are more and more important. So in this way, with this Graciano you are going to taste, for us it was very important to recover a little bit the aging potential of our Gran Reserva. So downstairs, you have our Gran Reserva wine, when probably you can find a touch of this Graciano in the blend. We are going to taste it together, because I want to show you. You can taste by yourself, but probably if you haven't tasted Graciano so many times, I think it's important just to see this expression of Graciano, this spiciness for me. For me, it's very clear that you can find some now of white pepper, very spicy sides. The funny thing of Graciano, you know, Graciano means funny at the end, is you really can taste in the wine the same thing that you taste in the fruit. And that's rare, because Tempranillo is not so easy to describe, but this spiciness you really find in the fruit. And seeing this in the wine, I think this is one of the good things also for the winemakers. Time to time you see the things you do right, and you can find again the fruit here. I would like to taste this wine, and I think very easily, not only by the color, you see the blue color, this acidity, this bluish, is always there. It's a wine that seems not to age. This is a 2015, really good vintage, very warm, and here is what probably is atypical in this Graciano, is this usually rusticity we have in Graciano. Here you cannot find it so much. You have soft tannins, and this is because it was a very nice vintage, very warm, and we really find a way to make this Graciano softer. But in this year, the important thing is this Graciano also fits in the Gran Reserva. Those are the years that we really can make a little bit more of this Gran Reserva's blend. I hope you enjoy this wine. It's a wine that really expresses many things. It's always a tiny production of 2,000 to 3,000 bottles per year, and we don't produce it every year. In the last 12, we make 7, 10, 12, and 15. So it's quite a rare thing. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I received my information trying to recover the parietes, but now they know how to get full ripeness and the full quality potential of this variety. Let's go with a second innovation. It's a winery, it's an old tradition, it's one of the most successful brands in Rioja, in Ardanza, with a formula that is perfect. Then you have to go to the Grand Tasting and try Viña Ardanza 2001. For me, I don't know the Viña Ardanza, but for me it's the most accomplished Viña Ardanza ever. That's enough. You don't know much more than it. And it's worth trying again. But despite having this success, despite having all of these things, these people, they don't want to rest, they want to do innovation for their Ardanza. But you are not going to taste Ardanza. Fully with the same.
Okay. For us, the tradition yesterday was innovation, and now the innovation probably tomorrow could be tradition. I told you before that we are looking for make every year the best wine for our customers, elaborate the best wine. One of our main brands is Viña Ardanza. Viña Ardanza is a blend of two different varieties, Tempranillo 80% and Arnacha 20%. Just in the end of the 90s, we start with a new vineyard in a special site called Tuberilla, Rioja Baja, Suzaria. And this vineyard is special for different reasons. One of them is because the soil is very, very, very good. All of them is covered by pebbles. And we call this special vineyard our little Ródano, because it's like our little Chardonnay de Parc. It's amazing. If you want to see some picture in our webpage, you see this special site. And another important thing is the production, the yield is very low. We only use this garnacha, this vineyard, to make vineyard danza. And the last vineyard danza, in our opinion, are improving the quality, are improving our style of a new vineyard danza. So you have in your glass an experiment. It's not a new brand of the La Rioja Alta. It's not a new wine. Never release this wine. It's just to show you our this sample of experiment. It's the vintage is 2017. It was aging during 40 months in French oak, bigger barrels. 14. Is a bigger size of barrels, and I would like to show you what is La Pedriza to improve our vineyard danza. It's my last speech. Thank you so much for coming. I wish you that you enjoy with our wine, with us, and the rest of my colleagues. Thank you so much.
Our next wine. Sometimes innovations are completely new, and sometimes innovations, this is happens maybe to many of us in our lives, is a continuous development, learning, tasting, doing things. And it's a great guy who decided that he's going to show the innovation by allowing you to compare his wine. In the very same origin in two different vintages, and to think how this has changed in 16 years.
Thank you. So, Ródano 2010, this is the example of and the result of all the works that we make in Muga, all the improvements that we make in different parts of the winemaking. So nowadays we know more and more every day about the terroirs, the potential of the terroirs, and how we can obtain a better grape to, of course, obtain after that a better wine. But there are a lot of small details that we can control, like picking grapes is something useful, normal. But how you transport, how you move the grapes to the winery, how you protect these grapes is very important for the at the end for the quality of the grapes. For example, actually we use refrigerated trailers to move the grapes. With our knowledge about wood, about the different forests in France and in the United States, and we know more about the toast of the barrels. So actually our knowledge about the oak, the aging in barrel is amazing. So the result is there. So you can compare the 1994 and the 2010. The improvement of the quality is clear. It's clear. We think that we can improve more this wine. So every year we try to do better things, and to use different methods to select, like our actual machine to select the grain, the berries. So we use an optical selector of berries to take the best berries only to produce this wine. So at the end, the product is there, and let me make a deal with you. So why not in 2035 we'll be there all together to retest this development plan and to be sure that the potential, the aging potential of this wine will be amazing. 2010, it was maybe in my opinion one of the best vintages in Rioja. It's an amazing vintage. The weather during the process was amazing. A perfect winter, perfect spring, perfect summer, and the most important thing for a winemaker, a perfect weather during the harvest. So when the harvest is good, usually you obtain a good product at the end. So enjoy the wine, compare both wines, but I think that this is a real good example of the work in our family, in our potential family.
Let's go to our next winery, to Roda, that is going to present an amazing innovation. An innovation that is looks something from the labs, etc., as innovation in the field, an innovation in the viticulture, innovation in understanding these genetic measures coming from the vines. Agustin, Victor.
Este vino que os presentamos ahora, no vais a tener la oportunidad de volver a catarlo.
So this wine that you have now in your glass is probably your only chance to try.
No tiene una vocación comercial y es una muestra de la vocación de innovación que tiene Roda.
This is actually a part of our research and development, which is a very important chapter for Bodegas Roda. A solid 7% of our turnover goes into research and development.
Esta línea que os vamos a presentar surgió en el año 1998, a finales de los 90.
Now let's travel a little bit back in time. If we go back to 98, the European Union launched, sort of a directive, basically rewarding the uprooting of many old vineyards, and those being replaced with, if you like, a more modern viticulture. You usually call them trained, drifting irrigation, clonal selection as well, in many cases down to one clon.
Decidimos hacer un trabajo que quizás no le corresponde a una empresa, pero nos recurrimos.
So we couldn't bear that. We couldn't really not even afford losing all the genetic diversity of Tempranillo that had taken centuries to build. So we started the screening Rioja. Maybe it wasn't, you know, that much of a task for a small winery like us, but we really wanted to do it. We started identifying different biotypes of Tempranillo, not only in our own vineyards, in any vineyard we had access to, looking at the size of the leaves, the size of the bunches, the way the vine would grow, whether it was a high one or a low one. Bearing in mind all those parameters, we came up with a striking figure.
Los plantamos en ese viñedo que veis, en Villalba de Rioja, en pequeñas parcelitas.
We identified 552 different biotypes of Tempranillo in Rioja, and we planted them all. That's what you have in the picture.
Vimos que aproximadamente en la mitad había alguna virosis típica.
Now, with the pass of time, we realized that some of the differences were not genetic. Some of the biotypes just had gone through virosis, and that was the cause of the different features. But still, more than half were different individuals of Tempranillo, different biotypes. And we focused on those that were left.
10 vendimias después, teníamos
una nube enorme de datos.
So we've had, already with this 2010, several vintages of work, and we realized that beyond the genetic bank, we also have an amazing field of work. You know, having all those different biotypes of Tempranillo, well, now we know which ones may work better under global warming, which ones give you, a higher acidity, lower pH, which ones give you more color. We follow that very much. So it's an amazing bank of information for us, all those microvinifications.
En el 2007 decidimos hacer una familia, un conjunto de diferentes morfotipos que se complementaban entre ellos.
Now in 2007 we put together a family, wonderful world, several biotypes of Tempranillo that we felt gathered the genetic diversity in the region.
Este vino corresponde a la tercera vendimia de un viñedo, es decir, un viñedo jovencísimo.
So that's what you have in the glass. Roda 107. The vintage is 2010, but 107. Well, it was the first family that we had put together, and we had put it together in 07. So therefore the name. And the striking thing is that what you have in the glass is not the old bush vines we usually walk with. At Roda we start with a minimum of 30 years for Roda 1. This one was our third harvest of this family.
Espero que os guste esta propuesta del futuro.
So we hope you love as much as we do this Tempranillo of the future with the Tempranillo from the past. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, let's go to the last wine in the tasting. He's tasting differently to what is normal. We decided to have a dry white wine to the finish. We think fresh is a good thing, just to have freshness and to have the things at the finish. And then it's good to keep the temperature of the wine like this. And this wine is the innovation by Robert Hurtado, the innovation by San Antonio that he was bringing up.
Okay, thank you. This is our proposed in terms of innovation. As I explained before, Gómez Cruzado is obviously a classic house. The most part of our production is based in this classic of long 80s and this classic of red. But by a curiosity, Gómez Cruzado, when was started 150 years ago, was producing only whites, not reds. He was the strange winery in the barrio de la Estación. And 150 years ago, we only produced whites. Whites, in the same style than reds, based in the classic recipe with long aging. But our new interpretation of whites is this proposed that is a white that is coming from a single terroir. It's coming from an area, is made without blend. It's based in Miura grape and white Tempranillo grape. It's our indigenous grapes, and we are in parallel to the wines with long aging and classic style. We are exploring this way of whites coming from a single area. Why we do that? We think that Rioja is so diverse. Rioja is a region with 120 kilometers, and all the people speak about Rioja style, but into Rioja. Inside Rioja, there are a lot of different Riojas. And this is one of the examples. This is a white, coming from Montes Ovarenes, is the name of the wine. Montes Ovarenes is the mountain that is close in the valley in the extreme northwest. Is the area for us absolutely privileged to produce whites because it's the area where the Atlantic influence in the climate is amazing. Then, with this wine, we try to show what is this small portion of Rioja. Okay, what is this character? Okay, in terms of vintage, 2015 was difficult for whites because was very early harvest. The reason was that the month of July was absolutely terrible with high temperature, very high temperature. And fortunately for us, during the ripeness came our amazing wind, call it Fierzo, is the name of our wind coming from the north. And Fierzo helped to us to keep the acidity and help to us to complete this kind of maturity with complete body in the mouth and at the same time good freshness, trying to do this perfect balance for us. It's a white that we use looking for this style of complexity. Of course, as you know, you can find a lot of different whites with a big intensity. Big intensity is in viticulture and in winemaking style is easy to do, where technology plays a big role. The technology is important for whites, but when you are working with a white with a lot of complexity, you are in front of a big terroir and in front of a big region, privileged to produce this kind of wine. At the same time, inside the winery, you need to be very carefully and put attention over every detail and be patient and do something to be like during a lot of years in bottle. This wine is ready to drink, but I suppose. This is our exactly this label. This is our fourth vintage, but I suppose that will be amazing in 10 years more probably. But it's long aging in barrel, long aging in concrete tanks, 1 year and 1 year part of the volumes, and at the end more than 1 year in bottle. It's ready, but should be amazing with the time. This is for us. Is hopefully. Our intention to show what is our interpretation of big whites of Rioja. Okay, thank you. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Very fine. Eh? They are serious people and the tasting time. Well, we've been going through 10 wines, 5 wineries, 2 proposals, proposals from the past. Proposal of the interpretation of the classic Rioja and the proposals of a number of avenues for innovation. I hope that you've learned a bit more about Rioja. I hope you keep your interest in Rioja, and I hope, most of all, that you've enjoyed these wines and the company of these winemakers. I would request kindly an applause for them.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt-Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, sláinte!